Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
There's no one like you.
I'm so glad.
There's no God.
You may be let down before.
There's no
myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell
them. Here I am. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I belong to Jesus, Lord, desire to live.
Can we say that as our prayer tonight? My life is not my own.
Welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, Apostle Daniel Douglas, along with none other than our lovely co-host, none other than Prophetess Kasima Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God is what we do on a day-to-day basis. And we're just excited about what the show has entailed for us on this morning. And this today is Man Up Monday. Welcome to the Man Up Monday portion of the broadcast on today. Listen, guys. You don't want to miss it. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, call them and let them know that the Worldwide Gospel Connection Man Up Monday is on the air. Let a friend know, let a neighbor know, tell them to call in. We have none other than Pastor Brian Ames will be with us today. Brian Ames will be with us on today. I'm telling you, exciting word of God, exciting word of God. I'm telling you, if you are looking for a shift, if you're looking for a move, if you're looking for a change, on this morning, I promise you, if you tune in this morning and listen to this great man of God, I promise you, the shift will come. The shift will come. The change will come. God has a word for us on this morning. God has a word for us on this morning. Listen, as always, guys, before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer and talk to the Lord on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come before you in prayer. God, to seek your face, God, to seek your face, seek your face, seek your face, and seek a shift and a move in you on this morning, God. It is no goodness of our own, Father God, that we come before you, Lord God, but we know, God, that you are God, and you are God all by yourself, and there is, beside you, there is none other. Lord, and we thank you, God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for being a keeper, a mind regulator, a heart fixer, God. God, we thank you for speaking life and speaking life more abundantly into these, your people that are under the sound of our voices on this morning. Our prayer this morning is something is said and something is done, God, that will increase them for coming. Father, our prayer this morning, God, is that it will be less of us and more of you, God, because we realize, God is no, it is nothing that we can do. It is nothing we can do. It's nothing we can say, Father God. There's nowhere we could go. It's nothing, God, that we could speak out of our mouths, God, so I could call the ship like you, God. You will come in and you will speak and speak life and speak life more abundantly to these your people that is under the sound of our voice, God. So we ask that you would, God, come into the room, God, and just shake heaven, God, and confuse hell on our behalf, God, and allow your word, Lord, to be strength and to be life, God, to those that will hear the voice, your voice on this morning, God, not under the unction of ourselves, Father God, but under the unction of you, God, that your word, God, go out, God, and cause the enemy to be placed in his place, God, and cause the devil, Lord God, to shake in the very boots, oh God. God, because we understand, God, that you have stepped onto the scene and caused this thing to come to pass. God, we speak health, life, and strength to those, God, that need it on this morning. Build them up on their broken side. Give them, God, the understanding that it is in you they live. It's in you they breathe. It's in you that they have their being. They cannot do anything without you, Father. And for that, we give your name glory. For that, we give your name praise. And for that, we give your name honor. God, for you are God, and you are God alone. God, and we thank you in the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. And the body of Christ said, amen. Amen and amen. Listen. Our scripture for this morning is Philippians 4 and 8. In our King James Version, says it like this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to read that again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his word. Amen. Listen, guys, we're just excited this morning. I'm telling you, we're just excited that God has shown up in the midst of our throne this morning. We want to make sure that we acknowledge those countries that are listening. We have a great partnership of countries that are listening in. We thank you guys, every one of you guys that are joining us on this morning that are listening in, whether you guys are in your homes or whether you guys are riding down the street or whether you got us hooked up to your podcast. We want your Fab Five and your podcast listening. We thank you so much. We appreciate you. And we thank you so much for doing that. We're just excited about what God is doing in the shift of the broadcast. We're venturing out to do some other things. And we're asking you guys to continue to partner up with us and continue to tell a friend and tell a neighbor. Spread the broadcast. Spread this word. That there is a word out that is changing the lives of those that are under the sound of his voice. We started out as a no judgment zone, and we're sticking by that. We're not going to judge you for where you've been, but we're going to help you get to where you need to be at. I'm going to say that again. We don't judge you for where you've been, but we're going to help you get to where you need to be at. Amen. So this morning, we want to make sure we acknowledge those countries. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have South Africa, we have Zimbabwe, we have Kenya, we have Jamaica, we have Russia, we have Germany, we have Saudi Arabia, we have Bulgaria, and we have Russia, and we also have China. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much, as always, for partnering in and again, as being a part of the broadcast. Remember that we're constantly praying for you guys. We're constantly praying for you guys, all of our missionaries and our pastors and our apostles that are out in these great countries that are confirming the lost. They're conforming the lost. They're taking them and giving them the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're changing their lives. We are praying for you because we understand that your job is not an easy job. We understand that you do is not an easy thing. So we're constantly praying for you because we know that it is a battle for you. We know that it is a battle for you and that this battle is not an easy battle. So we're praying for you. We're praying that as you have put your hand to the plow, that you don't take it down, that you continue your fight and you continue that push. We can ask, praise, that you continue that drive. We are also praying for those that are being conformed to Christ, those of you all who are being conformed to Christ, because we realize that shift that you guys are making, that change that you guys are making, that is a great change. That is a move, a bold move on your behalf. and the taskmasters of your region is not making that decision easy for you. They're pushing back, and we realize they're pushing back. But listen, when you keep on pressing, the Bible says press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. If you continue to press, God will press them back. You just keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Keep on standing in who you are and whose you are in God. And I promise you, you'll see the shift. You'll see the change. It like my grandmother used to say, it may not come when you want it, but he'll be all right on time. He's an on-time God, and he has proven himself to be that on more than one occasion. So listen, guys, continue to be a part of what God is doing here with us. And I asked you to be a voice for them, those that are lost, so continue to be a voice for them, continue to pray for them, continue to call on his name for them, because they need to hear your cry, and they need to see you praying for them. Amen. So continue to work. Don't give up on the fight. Don't give up. Keep the fight. Keep the good fight of faith. Don't give in and don't give out. Amen. So listen, guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. Remember, guys, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say the devil does.
the church say? Let the church say, yeah.
Tonight we're on the potter's wheel right now, and it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good, but we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. his hand. Just know he hangs his head on you.
Amen, amen. Marvin Sapp, he has his hands on you. Good morning. Listen, I don't know if you guys have ever felt the hand of God on your life, but it is a wonderful feeling to know that the Father's hand is on us. No matter what we may be going through, we may be going through one of the roughest trials and tribulations in our life. The thing that may be coming against our life may be big, but our God's hand on our life, it's like that prudential covering. It's on us, and irregardless of what may be on the outside of the storm, no matter what's been going on, the water can be coming into your ship, the rain may be coming down, the enemy may be coming at you on every side. But when you got your God's hand on your life, it's something about the hand of God when he's protecting you and covering you and keeping you and watching over you and got everything under control. It may seem like it's chaos to us, but it's order to God. Come on here. We got the preacher on the line. I'm not here to preach. I just wanted to encourage you this morning to let you know that God's hand is on your life. He's there. Regardless of what your issue or situation or circumstance may be, God is watching over you. Amen. God bless you. Listen, we have the man of God on the line. Listen, we're not going to hold the preacher no longer. We're going to go ahead on and release him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to some and introduce to others none other than Pastor Brian Amos. Dr. Amos, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dr. Floor is yours, man. Go ahead and bless the people.
Amen. Listen, first of all, I just want to sit there and give honor to God, who happens to be the great head of our life. Amen. And I'm glad that at this moment in our life, I am able to call him our Father. And, and I was just saying that, I remember the scripture saying that in times past that we were without him. And so I just thank God that, now I have a Father that I can call on. Amen. We know that his Father God, and I love that part because, again, he said, remember that, at one point you were disconnected. And but this morning I praise God that I can literally say that without a shadow of a doubt that I'm connected. And so what better person or persons to talk about than our God? Amen. And of course, I noticed that the topic of discussion, the man up Monday. Amen. So God wants me to talk about some things that I found important to me, amen, and how he was being able to show this type of thing. I would like to pose a question because I do believe that it's going to be an open forum. What is it that we believe man is, as far as, the gender? Because we have had so many different times in our life where we've had some bad examples and we haven't had anything to grab onto. But I am so glad this morning, hallelujah, that because I can call him our Father, I have an example that I can hold on to. Amen. So at the beginning of all this, I like to talk about right there at the beginning, the dominion that God has given us as men. And I'm also reminded, in our church, we have our men's ministry is called Adam. God just told me this. It's crazy. He said, anointed, dominant, appointed men of God. So at some point, we had to sit down and revisit the beginning and try to reestablish who men are. Because we've been disconnected for so long, most people don't understand. We got to be reconnected. I wish I had a church out there that's listening to me. But I'm telling telling you right now, man, listen, we got to be reconnected and restructured so that we can leaders and be able to carry on the weight and the load that has, you know, God has commissioned before us in order to be an example for someone else. But, you know, I just want to sit there and say God is so good that he won't leave us out here by ourselves. Amen. Give us an example. And I like how Adam's example was given. Although before the fall, somebody needs to hear that right now. Before the fall, God had the dominion that he gave him was something that we can never shake off. Come on, somebody. We just talk about this. I like to call it, everybody says it, it's been a theologian a point of reference that there is an Adamic nature. But how many know that the Adamic nature is just not sin? Oh, my God. I really wish I had a church. The Adamic nature is just not the sin of it. The portion of the Adamic nature that we forget and we have been disconnected from is the leadership portion. Come on, the way to lead when we're supposed to lead and how we're supposed to lead. And I'm telling you right now, man, I feel the Holy Ghost real quick. I promise you, if we sit there and hone in on, hallelujah, on the portion that God has got us or has ordained for us as a whole lot better off right now. Because we always want to sit there and shoo away Adam. However, God created him. Come on, somebody. And he created him with these landmarks in his life as far as leadership is concerned. So my question to all of the people that will possibly tune into this, and I know that this is a live broadcast, is if you have any questions, please feel free to go ahead and call in and ask your questions, because we are pulling ourselves away further and further from Adam when the nature itself will never change. We were born to be leaders. We were born to, hallelujah, we were born with dominion. We were born, hallelujah, to go forth in God. And the way that we have to go forth in God is to realize that he created us as a man. The nature of man never changed. The nature of man, yes, watch this. Oh, man. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The nature of man has not changed. The thing that we just happened to have to fall out of agreement was the portion where he fell. Oh, my God. The nature of a man has never changed, but we need to be disconnected from the portion of where he fell. The portion that he fell in is that he didn't listen, and or he leaned in God, was guided by his own understanding. Listen, I can't put it on Eve no more, because God never gave, hallelujah, the commandment to her. Amen. We need to stop doing what I like. This is what God revealed to me. We have to stop doing what Adam did in the self-preservation. Listen, he said, the woman you gave me, stop pleasure. I don't know why, but now this is real right here, Apostle. God sat there and just said to me, he said, stop putting the blame on somebody else. Come on, man. We got this man up. Hallelujah. Stop trying to put the blame on somebody else, because God, and carry on this dominion, to carry on this leadership, hallelujah, and lead like men are supposed to lead in front, and try to be an example, hallelujah, for all of these men that are out here that may be disconnected. I'm talking about the single man. I'm talking about the married man. God didn't say, hallelujah, in your position that there was going to be a change of who you are and who God said you was going to be. He said you were a leader. He said that you were a leader. Come on, somebody. He said you are a leader. So let me encourage you. The way that you feel when you want to sit there and take on the brunt, hallelujah, in your relationships and your marriages, come on. And if you're single, the reason why you feel like, I need to lead is because this is what happened. God said that just what we are. We are men. We are the dominant portion, hallelujah, of species. We are supposed to sit there and take on all of these things. He made our shoulders broad to carry them. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to know that they can carry this weight this morning. Hallelujah. So as I continue to study on Adam, after the fall, he picked up even still the leadership role. My question again to you is, men out there, don't you realize that it's your cross that you have to bear in order to pick up and lead? There is a reason why God has put this in your spirit. This is a reason why you have a burning desire to provide. There is a reason why.
Yeah.
Oh, then this is so awesome. There is a reason why, but it's also a back to scientifically. See, you got to sit there and look at the complete structure of what God has created. And that's what I'm saying. God said, listen, you think I'm playing, men? Oh, my God. You think I'm playing, sir? He said, look, do me a favor, hallelujah, and go ahead and research it for yourself. I said, God, okay, I'll research it. I looked at some doctors, psychologists, and they said, hallelujah, men, hallelujah, in most cases only think with one side of their brain, and that's the right side, which just happens to be the logical side of your brain, right? You wonder why you can get into a fuss, but you still get up and go to work. It's not just because you want to sit there and get up and go to work, but the nature of man is to provide for what he cares for. Come on, somebody. I wish somebody catch that. This is never going to change. It will never change from the beginning because God said that he has given us these particular qualities in order for us to maintain what we believe is important to us. So if you happen to have a child, if you happen to have a wife, a spouse, a girlfriend, or anything of that nature, one thing is for certain and two things are for sure. You're going to make sure that they are taken care of. And that's what we have to understand. If we take a reason why mentally they say that we as men can use the right side of our brain so well. Do you understand? Men, hallelujah, that's the reason why, hallelujah, you're not so emotional like everyone else around you. We are talking, hallelujah, directly from the most logical side of your mind. It's like you can't go right unless bills are paid right. Come on, somebody. If you can't go right unless, of course, you know that everybody is taken care of. And then in most cases, hallelujah, let's just talk about the nature again. You can be absolutely last. So if in the event that you're taking care of something or someone, watch this. You'll get the pair of shoes for the baby and or the pair of shoes for the wife, but you can do really good with the one pair of shoes you've been holding on to for so long. Why do you think, hallelujah, somewhere around along the line, you don't, it's okay if you be the last one to go ahead. Come on, somebody. I just feel this in my spirit. We have to sit there again and put back into place what the man is supposed to do and how he's supposed to do it. I think it's not strange that you feel the way that you feel. I think it's not strange, hallelujah, that you happen to hone into the dominant side of who you are. God said, guess what? That's who you were built to be. Come on, somebody. That is exactly who you were built to be. And guess what? God has taken a complete pride in that. God has said, you know what? Hallelujah. I love the title of this syndicate here. It's Man Up. Like at the end of the day, pull up, hallelujah, your bootstraps. Come on, tie them down and bear down and go ahead and carry the weight that God has said that you have been conditioned for. That was Holy Ghost right there, sir. God said, bear the weight. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bear the weight that you were conditioned for. God sat there and said, he created our muscles to sit there and carry on more weight. Come on, somebody. He created our shoulders to be broad so we can carry the brunt of this whole thing called life. And in the midst of what we're going through, that's the reason, again, why we can't get as emotional as everyone else. We can just sit there and just take on what God says we have to take on. So, sir, I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to briefly go ahead and talk about that. You know, it's crazy. I just really want to talk about that real quick because the structure of the man, I was talking to some apostle friends of mine, and we were talking about the one question that we had was why is it so hard to get the men in church? It's because no one ever talks about the structure of who they are. Come on, somebody. That's the reason why it's so hard. If we can acknowledge the fact that, hey, you know what? The reason why you feel the way you feel is because, guess what? You're a man. You were designed that way. You were designed to take a licking and keep on ticking. I think that clock, listen, I think that watch conversation and that commercial was built and designed for us. We're supposed to sit there and take a licking and keep on ticking, because we can sit there and have heartache. We can sit there and go through the trauma, and we can sit there. But guess what? Watch this. God has made it so evident that we are who we are. Please, y'all, forgive me on that lawnmower in the background, because I got to see what's cutting lawn, but the landscapers. Anyway, so listen. But anyway, the reason why we can do that is because God not only cursed us to be provider in the curse, in the provision, that, man, this is the makeup of the man. We still have to continue to understand the beginning when God created us with dominion. It was so good to me, Apostle. I started reading it again before this broadcast, and God said, just restructure. Come on, restructure. Get to the place where you can get the men themselves can be encouraged that they're not going crazy. Hallelujah. Like, this is really a portion of your Adamic nature. The Adamic nature is not always conducive to just the sin nature. It was talking about what God created before the sin was even placed in the earth. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, God said, you were designed for this. Oh my God. Do not get it strength. Do not be weary in this thing, because guess what? You were designed for this. So God, I thank you, Holy Ghost, be saying, go ahead and encourage the men. Listen, you were designed for this. You were destined for this. This is a portion of who God called you to be. You, hallelujah, and your shoulders are to bear the weight that God has already said that he's conditioned you for. At the end of the day, please don't get weary in these things, because, again, because the weight that God allows. I was preaching on yesterday, and it says in Psalms that that he is the one that created the wind, the wave, and the storm and the turmoil. He said, but why is, hallelujah, that you, my God, hallelujah, why is it that you won't go back to the manufacturer who created the storm, the issue, the problem? Come on, all of these things that he allowed to happen in your life. Was the purpose in general was to dare and let you know that you have to go back to him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So with that being said, I wanted to make sure. Oh, hallelujah. I just wanted to make sure that everyone understands. Let me make sure I got here. Okay. Make sure that everyone that's under the sound of my voice understands that God created you for this. Men of God. Apostle.
Amen. You know, and I was sitting here listening to you back.
Yes, sir.
And what I kept hearing in the spirit is this, is that one of the biggest issues with us being men before we came into the fullness of Christ of where we are, you know, I'm not saying that we got it all together. We're keeping it on all cylinders. But one of the things that I think that we had the issue with is we had an identity crisis. We didn't even know who we were. Mm. And we were brought up by men who really didn't know who they were.
Wow.
So as we begin to go into trying to quote unquote be the man, we were going under a flawed example.
Oh my.
We really did not know that as men, watch this here, that there were certain type of men. You had the abusive man. And so some of the men under my voice, this morning may have been under the abusive man who put their hand on women and told them, this is how you control your wife. You make sure that you slap her from one side of the house to the other. You know what I'm saying? That's how you be a man. And I had a guy that I used to work with, Pastor. This guy would tell me, say, my grandfather told me, he say, beat her twice on Sunday.
He said, wow. Be here 3 times a week and write those Sundays. And I was like, wow, how do you be an example for a young man coming up, giving him some flawed information? Like you said, we got to go back to the manufacturer.
Wow.
We got to go back to God. God says in the Bible, he say, husbands, love your wives as I love the church, and gave himself for it. So if we don't have an example of where, watch this here, Pastor. If we don't have the example of somebody saying, okay, let me show you how to be a real man, we're going to make errors along the way. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the information that they give us as men was needed information. It was needed information. It was information that we needed to have, that we watched this here, that you got from them, that taught you the importance of working, taught you the importance of providing for your family, taught you the importance of making sure that all your bills are paid. But then there was some things, some of the information that they gave us. My grandmother used to say it like this. She said, take all the information for what it's worth and use what you can, and the rest of it you throw away. And so we have gotten so used to just being in that position and that mindset that when God came into our life and did the shift, we had to get all of our whole mentality had to be restructured. Our whole mindset had to be restructured. And I'm gonna say, like I say it all the time, and when I'm preaching, let me talk about me so they can stay in church. I had some fantastic teachers in my life as far as being a man. Great teachers as being a man. How to be a man. What you do as a man. But my spiritual walk, watch this here. I had to get under some spiritual men in order for me to get my spiritual walk. Now, when the anointing fell on my life and I became a preacher, I had to get under men who had an anointing on their life. So there are stages as men. The Bible says it like this. He said, when we're a child, we speak as a child. We responded as a child, but when we became a man, we put away childish things. So it's the shift. We have to learn how to shift in God. We have to learn how to move in God. We have to learn how to allow God to speak not just only in us, but he has to speak through us so we can be better examples. And one of the things that one of the scriptures that stuck with me so vividly in my life of raising my sons, because I have 4 sons, 2 from my previous marriage and 2 from the marriage I'm in now. But one of the things that God showed me in raising men, the Bible says, a man who don't leave an inheritance for his children is worse than an infidel. Now, we were automatically thinking in our minds, Pastor, that what he was talking about was finances. But he wasn't talking about finances. He was talking about an inheritance, something that you can give to your kids that goes beyond finances. You have to instill in them some things that will cause them to shift. Amen? You have anything you want to answer that, Apostle?
Sir, you absolutely, yes, because at the end of the day, that's the reason why, and, you know, forgive me for going off on a tangent right quick, because I'm saying that right there bothers me so much, because again, now if you don't have anything to pattern yourself after, my biggest thing is that even if you did not have anything to pattern yourself after, God has left something as far as just having to be a product of your environment. And
amen.
That's where it takes somebody to be so strong, right? Somebody that has to be so strong in who they know they are in mm-hmm. God, and then begin to research why do I feel the way that I feel? Why is it that so now let's just talk about from the salvation side. Now that I'm a saved man, right? Why do I feel the way that I feel? How is the structure of what you consider God important to you? You know, there goes the human nature. The human nature is, say, I mark the perfect man. Look at that. We talking about Bible, right? I see something as an example before me, before my eyes. But my question is, can you be the person that someone else sees thoroughly exercise what they believe in? I felt that in my Holy Ghost toe right there. Because
come on, man,
if you sit there, hallelujah, and research exactly who you are instead of just trying to pick it for hindsight. Come on, somebody said to me before, I was talking to my spiritual father, if you take it upon yourself to go and look it up, then there is not going to be any disconnect from what God originally created. And that's my thing. If you see, hallelujah, the man and things of that nature, right now I'm saying, like, save men. Watch this. You don't have to sit there and be a replica of all of that negativity. At the end of the day,
right,
like, we have been preached to, we have been talked to, it has been stuffed down our throat that, you know, we have certain inalienable rights, men, to do whatever. But now here's my question. God says this. Now that you say, how are you supposed to do it? How are you supposed to sit there and move? Come on, how are you supposed to breathe? How are you supposed? The first thing that God showed me is lean not to your own understanding. Like, because at the end of the day, we got to sit there and try to lean to his understanding, because that's who we say we serve. Oh, my God. Come on, somebody. There is got to be that portion. But listen, I'm telling you, when he said that, he said, go back to the beginning. Go see what I told, what I intended for a man to be. Oh, my God. I intended for a man to be this way. Now, the Bible even says that sin basically snuck in. So watch this. For all those saved men out there, for all the young men out there, listen, sin is easily going to be here regardless. There is going to be a right and a wrong way to do something. Honestly, let's just think with our own mind. Somebody put their hand on a woman. Come on, somebody. It's just not. That ain't no manly way to sit there and do nothing. At the end of the day, because the legal law says it's called domestic violence.
Right.
Think about that thing for a moment. Like, if why you thought your dad wasn't there all the time? Because maybe he kept putting his hands on your mama. I ain't gonna lie. Let's just go be real. Let's just keep it real. Let's not follow the examples that we believe that'll put us in a place of, watch this, just like Adam, will put us in a place of what I like to call self-preservation. Nobody wants to talk about that part. Nobody talks about that part. Nobody sits there and says that, you know, you yourself are blaming somebody else for something that you've come short on. Come on, being a man, you've come up short on being a man. At the end of the day, he gave us an example. My biggest thing, Apostle, in our church is, like, God told me, he said, why are we sitting up there trying to go find another example when I put my word out there and I can't never go against it? How about go find who you are in that book?
Right. That's good right there.
In Hebrews, he said there's two immutable things that happen with him. The word immutability itself in the Greek and or Hebrew says that not only will I not change, but I put it against myself to not be able or have the capability of changing.
Wow.
Ooh, I wish people would see that. So if you really read that and you ingest it, that means that the word of God that he has left behind for us, he said he won't go against it. Oh, my God. I feel it in my spirit. I promise you, God is saying, why won't we go back and see what the original design was instead of giving so much praise to the fall? If we would take it, if it hit me just now too, sir. I think I might have to go read again, but I'm just saying, why won't we go back to the original design? Because now we say we're saved men of God. Or watch this, those people, those men that are disconnected and they're not saved, they're going through so much trouble, they're going through so much hell, they're going through so much trauma and things of that nature. Why won't you go back to the original design and see what God said he created us to be?
Right. You know, and what I love about this.
Yes,
go ahead, Pop.
Well, no, if we, what, 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 my thing, real quick, my thing again is, God is so funny. It's the Holy Ghost brings in my head. He said most men, like when we actually put things together, we don't like to read the instructions. My God. But my thing is that because God is giving you the instructions here, why don't we just pick up the book and just take the word? Because the word itself is life. The instructions of how he created what he created, period. Right?
Right.
Why he created, how he created it, period, will never change. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Papa. Right. Go ahead. I had to go ahead and get that in real quick.
Man, you good. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. We're going to give them the instructions that God gives us to give to them. You know, the Bible says, He said, I create in you a new thing. So one of the most beautiful things about when you come into the fullness of Christ is that old thing has to pass away. That thing that and I have experienced, we've experienced three deaths in our family in the last 2 months. My father, and two of my uncles have passed away. We have experienced death in our family. My nephew said something to me. I gotta quit meeting like this. And he said, Unc, he said, but you got to realize these are our patriarchs. They older. He said, they gonna leave us. They older. He said, we just don't like to be in this part of it, but they got to go. And so I got a revelation out of that. I tell people, preachers, if when you got a real ear to God, you get a revelation out of it. And I got a revelation out of that is the fact that, if King Uzziah never died, he wouldn't have never saw the Lord high and lifted up. Sometimes in order for us to see what we need to see, we have to die to ourselves and die to the things that people have put into us in order for us as men to grow. Growth comes by death, whether we want to believe it or not. The Apostle Paul said like this, he said, I crucify my flesh daily. I got to die daily in order for me to see God daily. If I'm not dying to the things that come against my life, man, I felt that all in the city of my never dying. So if we're dying to this life, this thing, because watch this, the death to things causes the burst of things. If you're still in the same place you was in 25 years ago, you need to really go ahead on and do some serious dying so you can see some things change. That's the reason why you have so many people that are in churches and still in that same church, and they fighting over that same seat every Sunday, fighting over that pulpit every Sunday. Fighting over that same place that you stand as an usher, that same place that you stand as a preacher, because you ain't wrong. When you start dying, that stuff don't matter to you. What you're looking for and seeking for is to be more like God. And that's what, as men, we need to start doing. If we die every day, our family can follow us if we die every day. If we put ourselves under the crucifixion, if we put ourselves under the on the cross, he said, pick up your cross and follow after me. That means that at some point, somewhere, you're going to have to get on this cross, not just carry it, because there's got a whole lot of people that carry the cross, but they ain't never got on it.
Wow.
The crucifixion of this cross, being good, I call it like this. This is what I call it, getting raped across hot coals. If you ain't never got raped across hot coals, see, they can talk about you, but you ain't got to say nothing. Come here, let me help you this morning.
Yeah.
They can talk about you all they want. You ain't got to say two words. Let them speak and say what they're going to say. But let God elevate you. Because whether we understand it or not, this is a circumspected walk, whether we want to. Y'all got to help out. This is a circumspected walk.
Yes.
It ain't just no ordinary walk. You say walk circumspectedly. So that lets me know that not only do I need not to be worried about these people that's talking about me, I just need to be focusing on my walk. And my walk requires me to die.
Yes.
I'm gonna park it right there.
And the crazy part is that if we don't sit there and observe the thing that happens crazy too, because you said that in nature what happens with the plants themselves in order to get fertile ground, and I really feel this so strong, in order to get fertile ground, something must die. It becomes fertilization for everything else around it. So if God is telling you to die daily, then you just don't know. You may be carrying the fertilization for the rest of your family and the rest of your life. So
boy, you talking?
Come on, somebody. You're carrying the seed and hallelujah and the birthing center. Watch this, and then you're also carrying the life sustainment that happens around time. So God is just saying at the same time, as men, we have to die daily in order for life to be shown right here in our face at all times. I know a lot of people, we talk about the manifestations of the Lord and God is sitting there saying, why don't you sit there and go and look at some of the things that I said to look at and observe, you know, as just like you said before, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. But now that I'm grown, come on, somebody. Come on. And those childish things and stuff that are things that are peeling off of you and dying off so that God can see the man who created. At the end of the day, he has to then have you do this in order for you to be an N-sample. I love that part. I love that word. People they think it's an X-sample. No. It's an inner seeing, an inner dwelling that you see. If the people around me, now I'm going back to the young men that you were talking about, the people around me are looking at me as a guy, and they're looking at me as a point of reference. That means that they're looking far beyond just the top portion. Oh my God, you can look like a man, but the way you act ain't like a man.
Come on, Doc, talk about the imitation man.
That's it. You can look the part, and that sounds good all outside, but you're not living the part. So now, I'm confused every time I see you not, you know, reacting as the man that you said that you are. Like you said, the man, the counterfeit, you know, look alike. That's right. Sometimes we gotta sit there and just be real with ourselves, and at the end of the day, do what we just what you just said. And die off daily, because even Paul, look, make no mistake, I love the word of God saying eat the whole rope, because from Adam all the way down to Paul, now I'm thinking about that. Let's go from Adam to the second Adam. Come on, somebody, y'all catch that, man.
Talk about the second Adam.
Listen, y'all done heard it before. Now, him as a man came down and knew what he was supposed to do. Come on, somebody. He already knew what he was instructed to do. But even in his frailty, he was like, wait a minute. Yes, I don't want us to then die for them people. I don't want – no. Garden of Gethsemane was real. So now it just again, explains our nature. We don't want to die. Come on. We don't want to die out there. We're trying to see, okay, what's not – it's supposed to be beneficial. Yes. Believe it or not, not only is it beneficial for the people outside of you, but it's beneficial for you. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because you stay on yourself. I'm even reminded, like when Paul said, like, I make no boast of myself. Like, at the end of the day, like, for real, like, if y'all really think that I'm not pumping myself up at all. Because I would be, he said, and the Bible says it, he said, I would be a fool to think that anything that is going on in my life is not because God did not allow it. Come on, somebody. You got to sit there and understand that we have to die out daily. But second Adam, let's go back to him, Garden of Gethsemane. Like, really, if everybody would think about the love that it was God that loved the world. Jesus just had to perform it. That's what
he showed up on the scene to do something. Come on, Doc, talk about it.
He showed up, but he didn't show up willing. I put it like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just got to be real about this, Apostle. We got to be real about this. He didn't show up willing. The Bible even says that the angels had to go and go. Man, I love that part. Minister to him. Yeah. Like, listen, don't think that this thing, you know, this dying out thing, as far as a man is concerned, is going to feel good. It ain't going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be beneficial. It's going to be beneficial for you. And at the end of the day, come on, somebody. Let's get that back in order. That's what I know, Deputy Holy Ghost. I know that these conversations are needed because we have to establish some better order here, according to what God has said.
Right.
Let's go ahead and put it back in perspective.
Right.
Amen. The second Adam, he knew what he was supposed to do. And I'm telling you, when Jesus started quoting the this is how cold it was for me. Jesus had the coldest one liner. He said, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And I love the way that he said all the references that he made. Can I say that this is why, thank you, Holy Ghost, he just told me. This is the reason why he said go research who you are, because every reference that Jesus made was back to where he was derived from. Every time they asked him a question about something that was going to go against the nature of what God had already put in, he said, well, as in the days of Moses, he gave
mm-hmm.
word.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but as in the days of Moses, I said, listen, this is the only way you can divorce. Come on.
Right.
He quoted. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He quoted again what Isaiah said. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Y'all don't know. Out there, even Jesus Christ himself made reference to the buildup and the makeup of who he was. That's the reason why he turned around and said, well, who do men say I am?
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
And look, you know, who do women say that I am? You know, well, who do men say I am?
You know, and a lot of times, these and a lot of times, too, we have to realize that a lot of these men, they are damaged goods.
Yeah,
we have our women that are damaged goods, but we have men that are damaged goods.
They done
been through the fire. They done been through the flood. They done been. We got some men because they are walking in, and we might as well go ahead on and put it out there. A lot of these men that walk in homosexuality was molested as young men. A lot of these men that are walking in homosexuality right now, they were molested by men.
That's right.
Their lives were damaged, and now we're dealing with a person that's in damaged goods. It's no fault of their own that they're like that. It's no fault of their own. You know, sometimes they'll come out and they'll say, God made me like this and all this other stuff. But to be honest with you, that damaged goods, it's been stuff that's been put inside of them that now, that their mindset now is that, okay, I got to be what I feel like I am. But it's not about a feeling. It's something that's been put inside of you. And they're damaged. And we have to realize when these men come to us, regardless of who they are or what they've been through, we have to learn how, as men, how to, number one, how to embrace them in manly, fatherly, mentoring love and show them, listen, this is the direction we need to take you in. It's going to be a process. It ain't going to happen. They've been this way their whole life. So you can't expect them to come out of this the same day. The Bible says it like this, when they were healed, he says some were healed along the way.
Wow.
So they're going to be healed along the way. We just got to give them the tools for them to walk and they fool them for who they are.
Yes, sir.
Because this is not who you are. As men, we have to learn how to love them through it. Give them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Give them what they need to hear. Instruct them, embrace them, encourage them, empower them, and give them the instructions that God has given to us to give to them. So that way they can walk in the place. Come on here, Holy Ghost, you messed me up early this morning. To give them the instructions on how to walk the life as God has called you to. Because watch this. Because you've been misprogrammed, you actually see that you're walking in a place that God says, I'm okay with you right here. No, God's not saying that you're okay right here. God's giving you an opportunity to change. Please change. Please walk into the place where God called you to walk into. I'm going to love you for who you are. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord for who you are. But watch this, at the end of the day, there has got to be a shift. There has got to be a change. And I get in trouble. I get in trouble so much. I do. I really do. I get in trouble so much because I tell people I don't have anything against the LGBT community. I don't got nothing against them because I understand that that's my job. I got to pray for these people. I got to talk to the Lord about these people. I have to put myself in a place to where I can get out there and I can pray for them and talk to them and encourage them and show them that God loves you. But there is a change that has to come out. This is a spiritual attack. This ain't something normal. This is a principality in a high place. This is things that we got to deal with. As preachers, we need to learn how. We need to learn that it's more than just standing behind the pulpit. God, I'm getting in trouble. Already, because the apostle showed up. The thing that we have to realize, man, we can't keep letting this thing keep on going over and over and over and over and over again, and we don't make the change within ourselves to help them become who God called them to be.
My God. Sir, you just explained insanity, like trying to do the same thing over and over. I'm about to get in trouble. Like most of now that we in church, things of that nature, and they're wondering why, and I love this topic about man stuff. They're wondering why that most of the pews are filled with the women and not the men. Because at the end of the day, if they're seeing some of these things, you said something about that homosexuality that just pricked my spirit. They're seeing things that they think are an example, and they're running away from it because, of course, they don't want to sit there and be involved in that. However, if we as leaders, you know, I'm just going to attack the leaders, if we don't address what that is and ask God how to deal with it and pray them through that, because guess what? Look, make no mistake. The Bible even says that sin is going to always be around with you. It's going to always be here. So, yeah. And we're not, of course, I'm not trying to highlight one thing greater than the other. However, I still want to sit there and say that the nature of man needs to be encouraged to come back, come on somebody, to its original state. And that's why I say again, I'll take the brunt of the full responsibility if nobody else will, because I'm saying the same thing that you were saying, sir. How are we reacting? How are we going to the Father about their deliverance, just like we would any other sin or any other breakthrough, because at the end of the day, they need to sit there and see some examples of what real men are supposed to be and how they're supposed to be. Just like you said, they're damaged goods. My question, I think more so than ever, is how do we deal with the damaged goods? You know, at the end of the day, how is it that we are going to be able to get to that point where we can get from, we're here now. How are we going to sit there and push away the homophobia, you know? And I know, I'm like, God, okay, so they're going to be among us, and that's fine. However, God, you have to put me on how to sit there and go to you and how I can be manly enough and show the manly portion of love. Man, sir, listen, I hug every last one of our men at our church, but they know it's a love of the Father through their leader. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, every portion of what I'm doing is going to be conducive to the word of God as far as showing that love that they need in the correct way that they need it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and every last one of them are like, Pastor, I appreciate you just manning up with me. I appreciate you for just pulling my coattail, telling me exactly where I need to come at and where I'm falling short. Because right now, that's what we need to do, is get someone or pray to God to give us the seasoned with grace words, hallelujah, to in order to sit there and reach these men that were right where they are. Because guess what? Listen, everybody always talks about the drug dealer. Everybody talks about the drug addict. But you again, when you brought that up, that pricked my heart, because let's just be, I'm going to be honest with you and totally transparent. I was homophobic. My God, get that away from here.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with that. But I know, guys, it's definitely on this line, because we still got to sit there and deal with all of them. We have to deal with all of them. But now we have to sit there and ask God to equip us on how we are supposed to deal with them. Amen?
Amen.
But
let me show you something. Go ahead, Doc.
I thank God for what I like to call it, the master reset. Master,
you know, we all need that, though. That's real talk. You know, and my thing was this, and this is what God began to show me. He said, you could preach to the homeless, you could preach to the drug addict, you could preach to the drug dealer, you could preach to the gangbanger, you could go out, you could stand in people's churches and preach in people's churches. He said, but the one thing that you have to realize is you can't pick and choose who you're going to preach to. He said, I called you to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. He said, your call is to everybody, from the pulpit to the pit, regardless of what they in, where they in, and why they in there. Your job is not to judge. Your job is to preach. I said, okay, God. I said, now, you're telling me my job is to preach, but what if they don't accept me? He said, then he took me to the scripture. He said, shake the dust from your feet and leave. He said, you've done your job. And my grandmother used to say it like this. She said, there are people that plant the seed, there's people that water the seed, and there's people
Come
that
on.
Nurture the seed. He said, you never know what place you may be in. See, because truth be told, these babies are just confused because they're, watch this, a lot of them never had a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
God help me right here. A lot of them never had a childhood, so they have to grow up fast. A lot of them never got the opportunity to become to go through the stages of puberty.
Wow.
To figure out, okay, I want to be a female because my mama is sensitive to me. She hugs me. This is for the girls. This is for all our girls. I never got that hug from my mama. I never got the experience, the love of my mama telling me that I'm a pretty girl and that I'm worth it and all this other stuff, because their virginity was taken from them at an early age. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
And now we have to go and we can't go in. And people tell this, and I get it. Trust me, I get it. I love it. I get it. I get the idea when a woman tells you that, the idea to say, you've been molested, you was raped, that's something you need to shake off. But see, a lot of times it's not just that easy to shake it off.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that easy. Whether you believe it or not, PTSD, you have PTSD with this. Some of these girls have night terrors. Some of these boys have night terrors because these people that came in their room in the middle of the night and took them and did things to them. So they're messed up. So we got to be, we, We got to be able to be sensitive. Oh, my God. We got to be sensitive enough, man. We got to be sensitive enough, men, to understand that they were looking for a man to mentor them, and they took advantage of them. So now every man that's a real man looks like a threat.
Yes, sir.
This was supposed to be my uncle. Come here. Let me talk to you. Let's get real deep with it. I told you, I get in trouble. I don't even care no more. Listen, we're talking about uncles. We're talking about daddies. We're talking about mama, boyfriend, your brothers, sisters that came in and took advantage of you. Real talk. And now you're messed up.
Mm.
I know some of these brothers that's listening to me, that's going through it, they got tears in their eyes. Because truth be told, let me help you real quick, Doc. Some of these brothers that are husbands right now was molested as men.
Yes.
As kids. And they're trying,
this is true.
They're trying to be the man that they, come here, let me be real with you. They trying to be a man and they still hurt behind something that happened to them 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Man.
So a lot of their responses is because of the hurt, Doc. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you brought up something really good, and I know you all the way in the vein, Apostle, because I'm reminded of, I was talking about the homophobia. Like, the reason why I was that way is because of the trauma that I had to go through myself. See, nobody wants to put themselves on public display. You see what I'm saying? No more. They don't want to sit there and tell you how in fact, that you actually got through the issues. But I'm reminded of, and to be, let's be honest, you know, you said, it's crazy that you said that 25 years ago, now that I'm thinking about it, that I was in that same arena, and these different types of trauma have never really been discussed. Let the truth be told, some of us really need some help, and we just not sitting there accessing our help. But the homophobia started because of that particular thing happening, or being approached to me at the same time. And I had to think about, oh, my God, this is crazy. What did you see in my lifestyle that was saying that I was even close to relatively being that way in that particular point? But now that we, you know, we're talking about that, but then it sent me, excuse me, into a lustful state. And I had to prove my math. Oh, come on, somebody. I know this is going to hit somebody right in the face.
Come on,
I had to prove my masculinity by going and literally sinning to sit there and, validate my manhood. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the validation of my manhood, I had to sit there and start doing the exact opposite.
Right.
Of what to the church, and excuse me, some of us can sit there and think about it. I was into the church very hard. I was brought up in that particular era, but I was also brought in that area. I was also brought up in some portions of era, because back then it was hush hush. It was, you know, it was seen but not spoken of, you know, or talked out about, because therein lies. Those people have to live with that trauma and how they react in that trauma. My reaction was absolutely to be, if I may be politically correct, a hope. Hallelujah.
Right.
Just
right. Talk about it. There's no judgment zone, Doc. You're in no judgment zone. Talk.
You see what I'm saying? I had to sit there and be, I guess the girls call it promiscuous. I don't know. The only thing I know is, men call it a hope. That's all I was running through them. And then, watch this. I was spreading the trauma that I incurred throughout even the church land. I was like, I'm going to show the church body that I ain't this way.
Yeah.
How about that? I'm going to go sleep with every choir director, it got so bad. Watch this. I had to get to the point where I had got to that point where I was like, I'm going to sit there and start sleeping with preacher wives that I have. Come on. It's just the reality of it all, so that all y'all can know that this guy is not that way. So, that, you know what I'm saying?
I'm
so now...
I'm a real man.
Huh?
So I'm a real
I'm
man.
I'm sorry. Y'all real man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The way that I, the only way that I knew how to show it was try to go ahead and sleep with everybody. Every female that came across my way, I was like, this is just crazy. But there again, I'm feeling like I'm defending myself against the, I guess what you would like to call the status quo at that moment. You know, the biggest thing was, again, homosexuality was a hush-hush thing. But now I have to sit there and show out that I'm not that. I'm not that portion. But now it's just, and just like you said, no shock at the LGB community. But guess what? It's not right. let's just say what it is. It ain't naturally right to be that way. But now, again, there's where the homophobia sets in. So now that every time I see the homosexual, it brings back the trauma again that I had to go through. And then let's talk about the other traumas. You and I may have experienced loss in our life. You know what I'm saying? That has gotten us to the point where we had to go run the street, or God is up there saying, even now, I feel in my Holy Ghost bones right now. He's saying, you ain't got to do that. You don't have to sit there and prove yourself. You don't have to prove yourself any longer, because God has already proven himself for you. So at the end of the day, look, let this be your reminder of who God said you were, or who God said that you are, so that you can pick up your cross and keep pushing. At the end of the day, that is the nature that we're talking. I'm serious. I really love talking about, because the nature itself needs to come back to, again, diversity. There's no way that you can sit there, and I know I'm brazen over it, but for those of you that have an imaginative mindset, I want you to understand, listen, us as leaders, we have gone through some trauma too, but the only thing that has sustained us is the word of God, and acknowledging, hallelujah, that trauma actually happened, and actually doing what the word of God is saying, and casting our care on him. I know that this is not what I am. I know this is not who I am. I know this is who you didn't design me to be right now. Hallelujah. And look, watch this. I know that trauma that happened in my life as a child, as a teenager, come on, as a young adult, hallelujah, these traumas did exist, God. And you said, hallelujah, that you would contend. And, oh, my God, you said that you would care for me. Hallelujah. So, God, I need you to care for me today. You know, we're not being able to help them in the instruction on how we even made it through. We keeping it hush-hush. Come on. The devil is alive. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. These people need to see the real us and know that the basis of who God has created us to be is nothing but a conduit of what we've already known that he said that we would be. Hallelujah. But we still had to go through the muck and the miry clay. We had to still contend with all of the trauma. All we had to contend with all. Look, that's what I hear in the Holy Ghost. If you're not putting up a fight and just laying down, you're just taking it. And you don't have to take it any longer. You can sit there and identify with it. We had a Bible study. God said in the midst of the Bible study, just admit it happened. Whatever happened, it happened, so that we can expose the enemy for who he is, and put God back in. Oh my God, thank you, Holy Ghost. God said he's looking for a job. Put him back in employment in our life, so that we can push forward. But and then watch this. So maybe it didn't happen from the outside source. Men, I'm telling you now, if you can hear me on the sound of my voice, yeah, it happened right there in the church. Don't run away from the church. It was just that situation. Come on, somebody. It'll start trying to make us go away from the things. Oh, my God. The ref lay our hair down and explain who we are and what we've gone through. But we're steady letting the trauma push us away. Apostle, how do you feel about that? Like all of the men just letting the drama push them away, or letting the trauma push them away.
It's crazy because a lot of time, and this is personal experience. I'm talking. This ain't something I heard. This is something I've been through.
Yeah.
I actually let church hurt push me away from the church.
My
You're
God.
Already doing this. Come on. This, we being real this morning. We on the man up under broadcast. The hurt from the church and the hurt from what I was already going through, it caused me to not want to go to church anymore. And the crazy part about it is, that you step back and you go through all the stuff that you went through. You went through that in the mentality and in the mindset that, oh, it's nothing. I'm just gonna go get on. And don't, you know, like I said, you know, there's no judgment. No. When it happened to me, I went back to my old ways. I was a preacher.
Come on.
I let the hurt not only push me away from the church, I let the hurt push me away from my assignment. I let the hurt push me away from the assignment. You know, and remember, guys, all you guys that are listening in to the broadcast, make sure that y'all call in. That number is 563-999-3628. We own the rights to this show. This is our show. We are the owners and operators of this show. God is our operator. God is our operator. When we talk under the power and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I need to put that plug in that dot. Because we want the enemy to know that we're not playing with this thing. God is,
no.
And that thing that pushed me away from the church, Pastor, was this. I let an issue push me away. And instead of me retreating to who God is and who God is in me, I retreated back to my old ways.
That's it.
And let me tell you, that was the worst thing that I could have did. I'm gonna tell you why.
Because
the devil had his way. Men, let me let you in on a secret. Let me push you to your purpose and drive you to your destiny. That's one of my things that I like to say to them. Listen, don't let a outside force keep you from being inside the house. I'm going to say that again because I felt that way. Don't let an outside force keep you from being inside the house. Because believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, brothers, inside the house is the best place for you to be. Inside the house is the best place for you to be. I'm going to tell you why. Because you'll get the bandages that you need. Because watch, there are people that have gone through what you've gone through, experienced what you've experienced, been out there and came back that can help you stay in place. I'm gonna say that again, because that just shook somebody's whole life.
That's
got people that have been through what you've been through at inside the church, that went outside the church and came back, that can give you some instruction. It ain't nothing out there. Stay right here. You're gonna be okay. Catch your breath.
Sir.
Dust yourself off. Rise to the occasion, son. Rise to the occasion, man.
Wow.
It's gonna be okay.
Yes. You absolutely
right. Tears are real, Doc. Our tears are real. As men, we were told as men growing up, I don't know, I think me and you grew up in the same era, Doc. But the tears that we were told as men that you were soft if you cried.
That part right there.
You ain't no real man if you don't let no tears fall.
Right.
Until I understood that if I didn't let these tears fall, I was gonna be doing prison time.
Right.
Just real talk. I'm gonna be behind somebody's bars, and I don't do prison well.
Yes,
I refuse to be poop. I refuse to be pooky boo thing in prison. I just couldn't do it. So I would rather deal with this thing.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather just deal with this thing and who I am, and just say, okay, God, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get in my little corner and go ahead on and cry this thing out with God. And going on about my business. Doc, listen, we're coming to the end of the hour. I would really love, I would really love for you to pray us out, pray for our men, and do the invitation to Christ, because there are some of these men that's out here that need that relationship with God, and this is the opportune time right now in this atmosphere, because I believe we got them by the ear right now. Got them by the ear. Speak. Speaking to their hearts right now.
Yes, God. Father God, we thank you, first of all, for all of the things that you've done for us, God. We thank you, hallelujah, Lord God, that you have given us forgiveness, oh God, today. Hallelujah. We come with a repentant heart, oh God, ask for your forgiveness on today, God. We ask that you forgive us for our sins, oh God, so that you may hear our prayer. God, it is once again, hallelujah, that we come to your throne room of grace. Hallelujah, Lord God, humbly as we know how, oh God, bowing down before you, oh God, acknowledging who you are in our life and who you can be in our life, God. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God, with hallelujah, with all of your authority and all of your power, that you would help, oh God, as men, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, those people, those men that are disconnected right now, God, we ask, oh God, hallelujah, that their questions be answered like never before right now, oh God. God, I thank you, hallelujah, Lord God, that you are, hallelujah, the master resetter, oh God, on today. God, I thank you right now that you've given them a new, hallelujah, life right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your word, hallelujah, how you said that you would give us renewal, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that every man that is under the sound of our voice, oh God, they may actually hear the replay, oh God, in the name of Jesus, will be touched, hallelujah, by your Holy Spirit, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for coming to, hallelujah, their rescue right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for being their shield and buckler and protecting them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for healing, hallelujah, their mind, oh God. We thank you, hallelujah, Lord God, for helping them to come and fall out of agreement with all of the different things that have come up to contend for them in the mighty name. God, I speak right now provision, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus for those men, oh God, hallelujah, that, hallelujah, are feeling even less than right now, hallelujah, in the midst of this pandemic, oh God. God, I thank you right now, hallelujah, Lord God, that you are providing for them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, showing them, hallelujah, giving them ways to provide for their families, oh God. Hallelujah. Giving them ways to provide for their children, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But God, we speak to their heart in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Prick their heart, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that they can come to you, hallelujah, willfully, hallelujah, Lord God, and let you, hallelujah, reign in their life again. God, I thank you right now for the healing virtue that's even going forth right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now for the building blocks that you're giving them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you, hallelujah, for touching their minds right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you right now, oh, God, how you're cultivating that, how you're, hallelujah, Lord God, comforting them, God. How you're, hallelujah, Lord God, how you're giving them the love that they need, oh, God. How you're giving them the comfort that they need right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, hallelujah, that you're going about, hallelujah, and letting your Holy Ghost reign in their home, God, reign in their mortal body. God, hallelujah, I'm reminded of your word saying that when the Holy Ghost come upon them, that they shall receive power. God, we thank you right now for your power, hallelujah, Lord God, because the Holy Ghost has already been dispatched. So, God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you're building them up when they're weak, oh, God. You're making them strong, oh, God, when they're weak, God. Hallelujah. You're building them up, hallelujah, where they've been torn down, God. You're giving them instructions, oh, God, on how to do and what to do, hallelujah, within the ramifications of the law, doing the right things on today, God. God, we rebuke and dismantle everything that has tried to come up against them. God, let them know that the weapon may be formed, God, but it shall not be prosperous in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, we speak success to those men, God. We speak strength to those men, God. God, you encircle them around with truth, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And you encourage them like you can and like no other man can in the name of Jesus. In their secret place, in their secret time, oh God. You sup with them. And God, we thank you right now, God, for the direct, hallelujah, connection back to you, God. And right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we, hallelujah, extend the invitation right now in the name of Jesus for those that have been disconnected to be reconnected, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. For those, hallelujah, that are straddling the fence, oh God, we thank you right now, hallelujah, Lord God, that their personal walls are coming down so they can reach up for you and grab it, oh God, hallelujah. And we give you praise, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, right now, if you are on this line and you know, hallelujah, without a shadow of a doubt, hallelujah, that God has been speaking to you, we want to extend this invitation to you. Hallelujah. We want to extend this invitation to you. Amen. If you want prayer, amen. Hallelujah. I believe Apostle and I, listen, we are not that far away. If you need someone to talk to a shoulder to cry on, amen, listen, this invitation is for you. This invitation is for you and you and you. You can come back to God. All you have to do is surrender everything that has been messing with you at this point. So this invitation is open for those of you that that feel like, hey, look, you know, God, I've been hearing you. You have been knocking on my door. I'm tired. I do not want to run any longer. God said you can surrender all to him, all to him, everything to him. I believe I can speak for Apostle here. Listen, there is no right or wrong way to surrender at this point. All you have to do is say, God, I'm tired. I'm sorry. I apologize. And listen, and if you are a sinner, you can actually speak this prayer. God, I'm sorry. I apologize. God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. Hallelujah. I thank you right now for the portal that you've opened for me to be able to be transparent. God, I need your help. So with that being said, Apostle, I would love to relinquish the line to you, but if you are in need of prayer, or if you are in need of, again, an ear to hear you, we are here and we are available to you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We don't have anyone has pressed one, Pastor, but I would like to pray for you.
Yes,
before
sir.
We leave, for that you have shared and poured out to the people on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for the weapon of warfare that you have placed
thank
in our
you.
Midst, God, in the person of Pastor Brian and Amos. God, we thank you right yes. now, God, for your covering over the man of God. We thank you for, God, everything that you have given to him, God, for every pathway that you have made straight, God, every stumbling block that you've made this building block, every weapon of war that the enemy has set up, God, has been shot, fired, and hit his target.
Mm-hmm.
We thank him for not prospering. God, we know that
thank
the weapons shall be formed, but they shall not prosper. Thank you for the weapon, actually the weapon working for his good. Thank you, Father God.
Thank
God,
you,
for even for his help meet, God, the woman of God, the prophetess that's on his side. God, we thank you for her. God, thank you for covering and girding him, God. God, thank you for covering his children, God. God, putting his protective
yes,
hands over his children and protecting them and guiding them and meeting them in every way, God. God, we thank you for all things being met, all financial, emotional, spiritual
yes.
things being met right now in the mighty and rich
yes,
name of Jesus. God, pour and outpour right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you in advance, God, for all things being made well. In Jesus'
yes,
mighty and rich name do we pray, amen, amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Pastor, let the people know how they can get in contact with you and where you are so they can come and visit the church or either get in contact with you for speaking engagements or anything of that nature.
Amen. Listen, the name of of our ministry is Power of Life Ministry. We are in Byron, Georgia. We are in Byron, Georgia. Amen. The address is 311 Highway 49, Suite 260, and that's Byron, B-Y-R-O-N, Georgia. And the zip code is 31008. We also have a toll-free number that you can call. The number is 800-908-9189. You can also reach us at Power of Life Men. That's POLEROFLIFEMIN at gmail.com. If you have any prayer requests, or if you have any comments, or you need maybe confused, I don't know, the map quest, right? It always messes up. However, we do have all of the different lines to get in touch with us. Again, that number is 800-908-9189. Again, and it is Power of Life Ministry.
Amen, amen. Dr. Morte, thank you for coming on board with us on this morning. I've got news that the woman of God is going to be on Lady Douglas's broadcast.
I know I'll be a firecracker, but I don't know. Y'all better be ready, because this firecracker.
Man. I told him, I said, I'll be trying not to sneak in, because I know that's a broadcast and stuff, but man, we be having some power packets on the line, man. We be having some power packets on the line. But we're so grateful for you to coming on and sharing with men and just sharing God's word with them. I honestly believe that was a shift and a change in the atmosphere for those that were on the sound of our voice this morning. Guys, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Pastor, hold on for a second.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need your whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, cause they're always on time. Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gon' get mine. Won't he do it? He said he would. Battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his grace. Won't he do it? He said he would. So I trust the man all time. You see what the enemy had planned for my downfall turned out to be the greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your fast and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time, and the last time, I know, I know, I know. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say he would.
Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Amen, amen. We're back, we're back, we're back. Remember, guys, this portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Corey Gift to Gift Bath Bombs. You can reach her by going to
CoraGiftedGifts34@gmail.com, or you can text her at 832-816-7997. Those of you all who would like to sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, you can do so by going to WGC2020. That's WGC2020. And listen, guys, we're just excited about what God is doing and what God is saying in this hour as far as this broadcast and as far as our walk with God. We thank Pastor Brian Ames, for being on the broadcast on this morning. Very excited, very powerful man of God. We thank him for being a part of the broadcast today. Listen, guys, God bless you. We'll talk with you guys real soon, and we look forward to you being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Amen. Y'all have a great day.